Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship here in Railway Street Presbyterian this Sunday morning, 30th of July. I want to extend a very warm welcome to all who are gathered in the meeting house and to those of you who are joining us via the live stream further afield. If you're a visitor with us, we're particularly glad to have you come this morning. And after the service, there will be light refreshments in the link through the door to my left, and you're all invited to stay. There are just a few announcements I want to highlight. We're planning on starting discipleship groups in the autumn. Jesus' last words to his disciples before he was taken up to heaven were that they should go and make disciples of all nations. And that is the main aim and goal of the church, to make disciples. So it would be really great if all our members were committed to growing the kingdom of God in this way. To help us organise these groups, we'd encourage you, if you're interested, to complete the form. It's in the summer bulletin. Or if you prefer, you can register your preferences online. It's not too late to register, and if you're using the form in the bulletin, you can just return it on the offering plate. The link-up will be running as usual on Wednesday morning between 10 a.m. and 12 noon. It's an informal time where everyone's welcome for tea or coffee, some biscuits and a chat. You can come by yourself or you can bring a friend. Everyone is welcome. You don't need to be a member. And you can drop in for a short while or stay for longer. We'd really love to see you. Our minister, the Reverend Michael Davison, is still on holiday, and he'll be back at work on Wednesday, 16th of August. In the meantime, if you need the services of a minister, please contact Stephen Johnson or myself in the first instance, and we'll contact the minister on call. And finally, I just want to welcome our visiting preacher this morning, Mr. Ashley Parks. Ashley is currently the coordinator of Children's Youth and Family Ministry in First Lisburn. He's due to begin training for full-time ministry in Union College in September. Ashley, you're very welcome indeed, and we look forward to what the Lord has to say through you today. And we're just going to begin now with our opening praise, Over All the Earth.
Morning, everyone. Morning. It's lovely to be here with you this morning. As Heidi said, I work at First Lisburn Presbyterian just around the corner, so I haven't come too far this morning. And that's a church I grew up in. And I moved away for 12 years to work in a couple of other churches as youth workers there. But it's great to be back. I think I grew up in Hillsborough and live in Hillsborough now, and I think this is maybe the first time in a service in Railway Street, which is amazing. It's strange. It's lovely to be here. It's really great to be with you this morning. So thank you for having me. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you rejoicing this morning for the gift of a new day, and with it, the gift of a fresh opportunity to meet together as your church and to worship you once more. We adore you because you are great and greatly to be praised. All we have to do is look around and see your greatness displayed. Creation shows us your wonderful work, your power and your beauty in all things. As your word reminds us, everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. When we slow down from the busyness of life, we notice you more. We hear you in the birds singing and sense your presence in the gentle wind. We get a glimpse of your goodness in the miracle of new life. The morning sunrise reminds us of your mercies that are fresh every morning. As we go about our day, help us to pause to admire how great you are and enjoy what you created. Lord, we confess that sometimes busyness gets in the way. We get distracted from you, and we go our own way. Lord, forgive us for when we think we know best, for the times we go our own way instead of yours, for when we seek our glory instead of yours, when we love ourselves more than others, and when we fail to bring Jesus to those around us. Lord, forgive us, we pray, for those times when we fall short of your glory in the quiet place, when nobody sees us. And Lord, in a moment of quiet, we confess these sins to you now. Lord God, grant us the grace to live as you would have us live, lives worthy of your call. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. If there are any boys and girls here this morning, if you want to come down to the front. With a couple. Come and join me, I'm not that scary. They're coming. Very eager, great. Good job. Good job. Good to see you guys. Good to have you. I want to play a bit of a game with you, first of all, to start off with, because it's the summertime, right? It's the summer, and we have lots of fun all day, every day. It's great. I have a little girl at home who's 3, and a little boy who's 6 months. And this past week, we've been up on the North Coast, and we've been having a lot of fun up there. But there's been a couple of days when it's been raining, right? So we haven't been able to go out. So we've just had to play games in the house. And one of the games that my daughter Stella loves to play is hide and seek. You guys ever heard of that? You've heard of hide and seek? You good at it? Yeah? Yeah? Good. I like the confidence. Well, I have hidden some things around the church here. I've hidden 6 things, okay? Because one of the other things that Stella loves to do is jigsaw puzzles. Either of you like jigsaw puzzles? Yeah? Well, I've hidden a jigsaw puzzle around the church here. And so what I need you guys to do is to find it. You think you can do that? Everyone here will maybe help you as well. If you see one near you, if you want to even wave at the girls, that would be great. You guys go and find me 6 jigsaw pieces. Go. If you see any at a pew that isn't occupied, if you could grab that as well, that'd be brilliant. Perfect, great. Good job, if you want to bring it to the front. Brilliant. We have a couple over this side. There's one at the back there, do you want to run and grab that? Yeah, good job. Well, you're just getting them all at once. Brilliant. Efficient. I like that. Is that 6? I think it is. Six? Perfect. Well, jigsaw puzzles are no good whenever they're just like that, are they? What do you think we need to do with this? Need to put it together. So let's bring it up to the front here. We'll do it on the floor because it's quite big. Okay, we'll do it here. And there's words on one side, isn't there? So I want you to turn it with the words facing up. All right? Good. Perfect. And we'll do it over here. Right here. I'm not sure if the camera can see this or not, but... So make sure the words are facing up. Okay. Good job, yeah? Good. Starting well. Perfect. I didn't want to make it too easy by making it a nice square one for you. Here, you're doing really well. That's great. Does that one go there? It's maybe in the right place, but if you turn it around a bit. Yeah, perfect. Great. Does that look good? Does that look finished? I think it does. Give them a round of applause. Really good. Really good job. So what we're going to do, we're going to stick them together, okay? So, just so they don't get lost again around the church. Oh, I've lost the end of the tape. Getting it. Perfect. Okay, so on this jigsaw, I have some words written. Can you guys read those words, do you think?
Home.
Church.
Family.
Health.
Food.
And friends. Great. Are those bad things? No. Are they good things? Yeah, they're all really good things, aren't they? That we've made up together and put in this jigsaw. So you think this is a good jigsaw puzzle?
Yeah.
Full of good things. Good. It is. It's full of really good things. All of these things are really good, and we have so many good things in life, and not just these, but so many more as well. Lots and lots of good things. I'm going to turn this around and show you another word. What does that word say?
God.
Absolutely. That word says God. Because you see, all of these good things that we have, the Bible tells us that all of these good things come from God. And the verses that we're going to be looking at with the adults later on, it talks all about that. It says we have no good things apart from with God. So all the good things that you have, all of these things, and all the other good things that you can think of, if you can think of something good in your head, that is a gift from God. Everything that you have that is good has come from God. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that a wonderful thing? So if you think of all the good stuff that you have at home, if you go home today after church and look at all the good stuff that you have at home, just remember to think, this is all a wonderful gift from God. Okay, let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that you're good. We thank you that you love us. We thank you for all your good gifts. We thank you for these girls and for the other children and young people here at Railway Street, and we pray your blessing on them. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks so much, girls. That's brilliant. Great help. And I think you guys are going out now to do some other fun games and activities and things. So thanks so much for your help. That was great. Thank you. Let's pray together. Lord God, you are good. God, you are over all and through all and in all. You're the head of the church. And so we now lift up this church to you. We thank you for Michael and for his faithful leadership here. Lord, we pray that this time of holiday may be a time of rest and rejuvenation for him and his family. Heavenly Father, we know that you are good and we know that you love your children. And so we bring some of them before you now. Father, we think of the congregation here in Railway Street. We pray for those who are ill or housebound, for those awaiting results of tests, and those on waiting lists. Lord, draw them close to you now. and may they know the presence and the saving love of their Heavenly Father. Lord, when we look at our news headlines, we can see that we live in a broken world. We thank you for those who seek to heal. We thank you for organizations like IJM who work to end human trafficking and modern slavery. And we thank you for those freed from slavery in Belfast this past week. Lord, we pray for those even right on our doorstep who are still to experience the same freedom. Father, as it begins to disappear from our news streams, we lift up all of those impacted by the devastating wildfires in Greece. We thank you that the immediate effect has passed, but Lord, we remember those who have lost homes, livelihoods, and family members and friends. Lord, as people begin to face the reality of changes that will be felt for months and years, may they know that even in the midst of the most difficult of changes, you are unchanging, and your love for them is unchanging. Lord, draw them close and comfort them, we pray. Father, we lift up these and all our prayers in and through the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We're going to sing again just now. We're going to worship God in voice. Speak, O Lord. We turn together to our Bible reading this morning, and you've been working through the Psalms, and so we're continuing that series this morning, and so we're in Psalm 16 today, which is on page 549. We read God's word together, which says this. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. As for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. I will not pour out their libations of blood or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, may these words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. As I already said to the girls at the front there, hopefully you were listening too, we have a toddler at home. Her name is Stella, and she's 3, and she's at that really fun age where she's trying out new things. But trying out new things can be scary for anyone, and she's the same. And so sometimes she's trying out something new, and she gets a bit scared halfway through, and panics. We were on the North Coast this week, and we took Stella bodyboarding for the first time. Now, she was just floating about on the bodyboard. She wasn't actually looking to catch any waves, but there were some waves, and at times they rocked the bodyboard a bit. Another example was we were at the amusements, and she was climbing quite a steep slide on a big inflatable, a stairway on a big inflatable slide, and adults weren't allowed on this slide. It was just children, and she just about made the height, and she really wanted to do it. And so she was climbing up this stairway, and she got about three quarters of the way up and realized how high she was, and she froze with fear. I don't know if you've seen this slide in Portrush. It's pretty big. On both occasions, and on many others, when she's in the middle of something new, and when she gets a bit scared, she stops, and she looks around, and she calls for help from mommy or daddy. And she does it knowing that that's our job. Our job as her parents is to keep her safe. So she knows that she can turn to us for safety and for refuge. And that's what David is doing here at the start of Psalm 16. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. He's calling out, keep me safe, look after me, watch over me, pleading with God to keep him safe and to look after him. Now, why, when Stella is in trouble, why does she know that we will keep her safe? It's because she knows us. And David is the same. So David starts the psalm by crying out for safety and for help. And then he goes on a bit of a journey of declaring who God is. Because he knows God. He knows God's character. And so he declares it in the next few verses. Let's look at it quickly. He says things like, you are my Lord, you are my Lord, you are my master. Apart from you, I have no good thing. Everything that I have that is good comes from you, just like what we were talking about with the girls at the front. Every good thing that we have is a gift from God. He talks about the people that he sees around him, the holy people, the saints here in this land. I delight in them because of their faith in you and what you're doing in their lives. There's people who run after false gods. Their sorrow will increase, he says. I will not pour out their libations of blood or their sacrifices or take their names on my lips. I'll not follow them. I'll not get involved in that stuff. I'll not do what these other people are doing. Then he turns back to God in verse 5. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. God, you have a plan for me. You have a plan for my life. You counsel me. You instruct me at night. God, you guide me all the time. He's declaring who God is, a list full of declarations of who God is and what God does, because he knows God. He's seen God throughout his life. He's experienced God, and so he knows God's character. So he's in a place where he can declare that, he can say that out. And so he's gone on a journey of God, please help me, to declaring who God is. And then is the destination in verse 8. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. This isn't a scared plea anymore. This isn't the same as where he started out. This is confident. This is a confident declaration. God, you are with me, and I will not be afraid. I will not be shaken because you are with me. So he starts off worried, scared, asking for safety because of himself, because of his own fears. And then he realizes who God is. And that leads him to confidence. What an incredible model for us to follow. Because there's times in my life, and I'm sure times in yours, when we're scared, when we're fearful, and understandably so. Maybe you get the results of a test and it's what you feared. Maybe this current financial climate has left you in real difficulty. Maybe a relationship breaks down. Maybe someone who you know is ill or dies. It's natural to feel fear. It's natural to feel the need for safety and for refuge. But we have a God who is supernatural. And so we can know that in those moments, we will not be shaken because we know who God is. We know what he has done in our lives in the past, and we can have confidence that he is at our right hand and that he will hold us in the future. I left a verse out as I was going through David's declarations there, and I did it on purpose because I wanted to circle back to it. Verse 6. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. What does that mean? Is that talking about where I live in Hillsborough? Sorry, Royal Hillsborough? And our garden? Is that what it's talking about? We're blessed, no doubt about that. But he's not talking about our home here on earth. He's talking about our eternal home, our inheritance, the riches of heaven, and life with God forever in glory. And this links nicely into the last three verses. Verse 9, therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. David has reason to celebrate. He has reason to rejoice because God is with him. And he knows that he will be with God forever. His heart is glad. His tongue rejoices. My body, he says, also will rest secure. Why? Verse 10. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. Do you notice there in verse 10 the words Holy One? They have capital letters. He's talking here about Jesus. He's saying Jesus won't see decay when he dies because he will be risen long before that happens. But wait, this is about 1,000 years before Jesus. So how does he know that? That's simple. God told him that. If you turn with me to 2 Samuel, verse 7, or chapter 7, sorry. Second Samuel 7, 12 to 16. The prophet Nathan passes on this message to David. When your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. When he does wrong, I will punish him with the rod of man, with floggings inflicted by man. But my love will never be taken away from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom shall endure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. David knows that Jesus is coming because God tells him. God tells him that he will have somebody from his line who will be on the throne of heaven forever. That's why he will rest secure. That's why he knows that he'll not be abandoned to the realm of the dead. That's why he says in verse 11, "You make known to me the path of life." God has shown him. God has told David what's going to happen. And what wonderful truths they are. So wonderful that the disciple Peter, Jesus' right-hand man, he quotes this psalm in one of his first recorded sermons. In Acts 2, Peter's explaining the gospel to a crowd in Jerusalem, and he quotes Psalm 16, verses 8 to 11. And then he explains it saying this, and if you want to turn with me, you can, but I realize we're bouncing about a lot, so from verse 29, "Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him an oath that he would place one of his descendants on the throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact." God told David what was going to happen. And David knew that because of his resurrection, and because he now sits at God's right hand, that one day, David knew that one day he will be there too, filled with the joy that only eternal life with Jesus can bring. That is why David is confident. "You will not abandon me to the realm of the dead." What a wonderful promise. Maybe at this stage you're asking, so what? That's nice for David, but so what? What's it got to do with me? Here in Lisburn, in 2023, the answer is everything. When Stella was on the slide, when she cried out looking for safety, because she knows me, she knew that I would answer the call. And I did. I went up and helped her the rest of the way. The guy who was operating the slide allowed me to do that, by the way. We went to the top of the slide, and I had her in my arms, on my knee, and then we went down. And the result, laughter and giggles. Pure fear turned to real joy. This joy is nothing compared to the joy that is offered through this promise. This promise that is given to King David through the prophet Nathan. This promise that David then writes in Psalm 16. It wasn't just for him. It's a promise for all of us too. So what? Why does it matter? Because this promise is for us. The confidence that David has in his eternal home is a confidence that all of us can share. If you, like David, if you cry out to God for help and refuge, if you, like David, declare in loud voice who God is and what he has done day by day and what he has done through the resurrection of Jesus. Then you too can have the confidence that you share in this promise. You share in the promise of having an eternal home with him in heaven. And because of these promises, we can share with David, and with him, we can say with real confidence and assurance his closing words here in verse 11, "You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." Because of what God has done through the death and resurrection of Jesus, we can be filled with that same eternal joy, knowing the truth that in him we find our true home. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your wonderful promises to us. We thank you for the gift of Jesus and for what he achieved on the cross and in rising from the grave. We thank you that because of that resurrection, we can have confidence that we will experience pure joy with you forever in heaven. And so, Lord, as we face the fears of day-to-day life, in the midst of those, may we know who you are. Remind us of your goodness and your love and your character, and fill us with the confidence in you. In Jesus' name, amen. We sing our closing praise, "There is a higher throne." We bless each other with the words of the grace. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.